Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I want to thank you for being on my call this evening. This is the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call. Very soon, I'll be year number 19 of hosting this call. So factor how many calls that would be, 52 weeks times 19 years. That is a lot of conference calls, a lot of great guests. I just recently released the 2005 interview with the great Jim Rohn that I did on October 25th. That interview had actually been lost in the transition of different web builders, and I lost part of my back office. I found the original disc of the recording of that event and posted it. So for those of you who got the opportunity to hear the great Jim Rohn, I interviewed him on October 25th, 2005, 11 years ago. If you are brand new to this call, I host this call each and every Tuesday night at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. I've had guests like Susan Sly, John Assaraf, Dr. Joe Dispenza, Jim Rohn, Mark Victor Hansen, the movie producer Stephen Simon, who produced the movie What Dreams May Come, an Academy Award-winning movie, and Somewhere in Time, Bill and Ted's Great Adventure, just to name a few. Dawn Ferrantino was my most recent guest. Dawn received rave reviews for her content that she delivered 2 weeks ago. All of my calls are recorded going back to 2010, so there's many, many calls that you can listen to in my archive calls at my website, www.goldenmastermind.com. I'm releasing many new products in 2016, a lot of exciting situations happening with our internet marketing team. We now have a three-hour recorded video product of me coaching that is available. I also have a certified coaching program online that is 40 modules, about 6 hours, that you complete in a few weeks and become a certified life coach through Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I'm going to be releasing out of my archives Power Prospecting and Sorting for Professionals. This is one of my rawest prospecting moments back in 1998. It was originally a two-cassette audio series. I just had it remastered. It will be available for a single CD to be purchased at events for $20. It will also be a downloadable product, and it will be used in some of my marketing campaigns. My internet marketing team, which comprises of Chris Schar and a group of professionals, are also putting together several different sales funnels, so you'll see me releasing new products throughout 2016 and throughout 2017. I was in Boston, Massachusetts last week. Thank you, Abby O'Neill, for unequivocally filling the room. Abby O'Neill put 40 people plus in the room in Boston. It was a fabulous event. This Saturday, I will be in Cleveland, Ohio, with Cindy Walter and her team. April 9th, I will be in Chicago, Illinois. April 16th, which is already sold out in Bozeman, Montana. Nicola Stoddard, she filled the room. I ended up getting a different hotel room to accommodate the overflow. It's already sold out. April 23rd, St. Louis, Missouri, one of my all-time favorite cities, growing up half of my life in Missouri and graduating from Northwest Missouri State University. April 30th, I'll be in Norwalk, Connecticut with Dawn Ferrantino. Long Island, New York, May 14th. Joy Schoenholtz, Kelly Bartoletti, and Dawn will also be sharing the carpet with me then. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, May 21st, June 4th, Atlanta, Georgia, June 18th, White Plains, New York, and I just booked Fort Lauderdale, Florida, July 23rd. I'm in the process of booking some of my other dates that I have available on my schedule, which are June 25th, July 16th, and July 30th. August 6th is officially open and available to purchase tickets for the Millionaire Blueprint in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we have a fabulous room for that event in Caesars Hotel. And that will be from noon until 4. All of my events are available to be purchased tickets at www.goldenmastermind.com. My coaching one-on-one is absolutely at a premium. I have been coaching for almost 19 years, over 11,000 clients, 60,000 hours one-on-one. If you're on this call tonight, I don't typically offer this, but if you're on this call tonight and you are considering or serious about hiring me to be your coach, I will offer you a free 15-minute coaching session, provided you're able to call me immediately after this call. I'll have room for one or two people who are considering or serious about hiring me to be your coach. My number is 209-932-0227. 209-932-0227. And with that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. A large percent of this year is going to be devoted to selling, marketing, branding, speaking, improving your dialogue with money, and assisting you to have better communication skills. If you're on this call and you own a direct sales business, a network marketing business, if you're in real estate, you sell financial products and services such as insurance or financial planning, then you have a leveraged business. If you're a real estate investor and you're creating multiple properties or you own multiple franchises, then you have the opportunity to create leverage from either the comfort of your home or the comfort of your office. But if your ability to connect and communicate is not at its peak, then the content I'm going to share for you tonight will be of great value to you. If you have challenges asking for commitments, if you're commitment phobic yourself, if you get overwhelmed easily and you stutter or check out in mid-sentence, or there's a gap and a delay in your communication style, there's a high probability that you have anxiety issues that keep you overwhelmed when it comes to asking, receiving, and deserving. And if you have anxiety about selling, you tell yourself a story about rejection, abandonment, or the word no, there's a high probability you will spend a great deal of your, what should be focused time, unfocused, avoiding perceived pain that is not real. I'm going to give you insight tonight on how to connect and prospect like a professional. But if you continue to be an amateur, you will get paid what an amateur gets paid, very little in free enterprise. In free enterprise, you unequivocally can create and attract what the free market will bear. But like any vocation, you must master the skills of the vocation. If you're building a leveraged business that requires sales volume, leaders, and people that you can collaborate with, then you must be comfortable with recruiting, asking, selling, deserving, branding, marketing, and most importantly, lead generation skills. I just finished a four-week live prospecting clinic that I hosted on March 7th, March 14th, March 21st, and March 28th. For four consecutive Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I stood the gaff by calling live prospecting leads, leads that I had purchased, leads that I had created through various sources of advertising. Last night, in a 50-minute stretch of live prospecting, I was able to schedule five appointments where four of the five viewed the opportunity within the first 2 hours after that call. It was followed by a follow-up call with questions that led to the outcome that I sought. Now, if you're skilled in this process and you're not overwhelmed or anxious, then you'll have a high law of average of people that join your enterprise. There are many of you on tonight's call who started to master the art of attracting consumer and product customers and teammates. That is fantastic because all of that contributes to sales volume. But if you have anxiety about asking people about the dream, money, joining your team, joining your business to build a business, well, there's a whole different level of anxiety that you have to let go of so you can step into your power rather than avoiding it. And if you get overwhelmed at the thought of asking someone for a commitment, asking someone for a scheduled appointment, asking someone to join your team because of your own deserve issues, then you're going to be very ineffective rather than effective. As you are no longer the mind-body condition to the events that shaped your low self-esteem, your anxiety, your state of overwhelm, then you can be and stay in your power. But if you continue to tell yourself stories about outcomes that have not happened, then you will stay in your denial. As you let go of your emotional addictions that keep you overwhelmed and anxious with stories that aren't real so you can avoid perceived pain, then once again, you can start to become the person you're capable of being. There's a lot of misconceptions about selling. I don't want to be a used car salesman. Well, what is a used car salesman? Anyone who takes cars to Barrett Jackson one of the greatest car shows in the world sells used cars. There's a misconception about car sales. There's a lot of misconceptions about selling, that it's sleazy, it's unscrupulous, you do things to hurt people or any multitude of situations. However, in reality, sales is the highest paid profession in the world. Many companies and industries go to great lengths to seduce their salespeople into believing they're not selling anything. I mean, I understand the context of it, because selling is perceived to be difficult, selling is perceived to be painful, selling is perceived that there's a lot of rejection. But when you take away your anxiety about outcomes that are not real, and you start to master the skills to be a professional in your vocation, and then you start to embrace the fact that sales is a necessary component to be an entrepreneur, branding is also important, lead generation is equally as important, the ability to ask questions, then you'll stop avoiding the vocation you seek to become a millionaire. It's contradictory to try and talk yourself out of the vocation that you're in the process of mastering. And the more you let go of your anxiety and control, the more in your power that you can be and stay. When you converse with someone and they pass on an opportunity, seldom if ever do they reject you. Seldom if ever do they make it personal about you, except in a few isolated incidents. Now, you may encounter a few people from your past who may heckle you on Facebook or social media. You may occasionally encounter people from your past who make fun of you for doing something they don't have the courage to do. But you also must understand, this is an isolated situation. Overall, the leads you attract, the leads you create, seldom will ever reject you. A large percent of the constituency, population, or leads that you create will pass on an opportunity for this one key component. They prejudge it, and they're also not interested. Those are the two most common reasons they prejudge it. I asked a waitress recently, have you ever considered owning your own business? She said she was going to nursing school. Now, she did not answer my question. I didn't ask her if she was going to college. I asked her if she'd ever considered owning her own business. She disqualified herself before she ever got to the plate. I didn't sit there and open my mouth and try and convince her, sell her, seduce her, persuade her, or beg her to take a second look at the look she passed on the first time. I let her go. The more you understand that success, free enterprise, and business is not for everyone, and not everyone's open, available, and ready when or as you are, and you learn not to take situations personal, you let go of being sensitive and defensive, then you can start to master the inner game of selling. If you've noticed, Grant Cardone is filling up his webinars by the thousands. His book, Sell or Be Sold, is a bestseller. The 10X Rule is another bestseller. Sales has been around forever. My first sales book was a book called How to Master the Art of Selling by the great Tom Hopkins, published in 1982, ghostwritten by the great Tom Murphy. I highlighted and yellowed that book out in the summer of 1985 when I lived in Westwood, California, as I was suntanning on the campus of UCLA. I read that book every single day and highlighted. I still have my original version of that book, as I do my original version of Think and Grow Rich that I first purchased in 1987 by the great Napoleon Hill. Your mindset is an absolute necessity when it comes to being an entrepreneur. If you seek to become successful, if you seek to build a business and free enterprise, then you must master the skills, habits, and mindset of that vocation. And if you're going to be effective at lead generation, qualifying leads for your time, then the component you must master is the art of asking a question. Prospecting is to dig, to sort, to find. You're looking for nuggets, gold nuggets. You're looking for pearls. You're looking for people who qualify for your time. You're looking for people who are serious, not curious. You're looking for people who have a compelling reason to change. You're looking for someone who has reasons to change that are bigger than their problems. You're looking for people who want to create an additional stream of income. You're looking for people who want to create additional money. You're looking for people who want to improve the quality of their health. They're looking for people who want to buy products, services, benefits, and features that will add value to their life. when you start to understand what you get compensated for, you get compensated for qualifying people for your life. Yes, you also get paid for leading people and mentoring people, but if you don't master the front door, you never get to the back door. If you have more anxiety than you have whys or reasons to succeed, then you'll overwhelm yourself and get ready to get ready. Getting ready to get ready are avoidance tendencies, i.e. procrastinari in Latin, or procrastination. Procrastination means to avoid. When you let go of the stories you tell yourself that aren't real and you start to master the simple skills with simple discipline, then you too can become a master asker. How do you ask questions? You learn to ask them in a sequence. The questions you ask should be routine. There should be a series of questions that you ask routinely over and over about an outcome you seek. If you are selling wellness, energy, if you're selling any multitude of products, benefits, and features, if you're selling candles, if you're selling real estate, you're looking for a qualified buyer. If you were selling real estate, you wouldn't ask your buyer to meet you at your office, ask them to get in your car, and drive them to the place that you're going to show them a house if they couldn't qualify for a loan. That wouldn't make sense, would it? Well, you have to apply the same principle when it comes to selling a business opportunity, a product, service, benefit, and feature. A large 100% of the population will give you objections. An objection is not a rejection. When someone says, well, that's a sound followed by a preposition, which grammatically does not even fit a sentence structure. When someone says, well, this sounds good, but, there's several prepositions right there in the first half of that sentence, but I don't have the money, or whatever it is they say, you have to be able to differentiate between fact and fiction and understand, is this an objection that I can address, or is this an objection that doesn't merit my energy and my time? When you're not emotionally attached to an outcome, you can diplomatically let people go without feeling abandoned, rejected, or they told you no. As you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect of the events that shaped your feeling, and you're no longer overwhelmed or anxious about the mistakes you might make, being judged, being criticized, being wrong, losing someone, making a mistake, or not being perfect, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that created your identity. And if you have an identity where you get overwhelmed easily or anxious, then you will spend a great deal of your entrepreneurial endeavors avoiding the process. You cannot learn the repetition and the experience required to develop the reflexes, the habits, and the skills of effective communication style. You must have quick reflexes when it comes to communication, meaning you must be able to adapt and adjust in a communication. If someone says something that's not scripted and you're going strictly by the script, then you'll have challenges. Now, within context, your objective is not to wing it. But when you start to understand that human beings are predictable, and the more you understand that their predictability becomes your power, and you learn to ask a series of frequent questions that are routine and similar about the outcome you seek, then you can become very skilled at the process. Then you can adapt and adjust when someone asks you a question that may not be as frequent. What is this about? Well, you want to be able to say what this is about is. You'll take those words, package it into a statement that ends with a question, and you can address that question effectively and keep the communication moving. Your objective is not to engage in a communication style where you have to do all the explaining, validating, and justifying. Now, if you have to do that, then you have to be really, really good. The problem with doing a lot of explaining is it's challenging to duplicate because you'd have to have a script book, not a script. You can use a script effectively to your advantage, but instead of using a script, you want to use a routine where you ask similar questions over and over, adapting to the answers, asking a question based on an answer, so you can move a conversation along while establishing, is this a qualified buyer? Is this someone who has a problem I can resolve? When you're able to expose the problem in a communication, when you're able to find out if the person has a problem you can resolve, then you can present the result. You can present the solution, and now you can close on the solution. Closing is a skill mastered by asking questions. You don't close at the end of a conversation. You close early and often throughout the conversation. One of the most important questions you ask early in any communication is, are you serious about? Are you serious about starting a business? Are you serious about purchasing a home? Are you serious about improving the quality of your health? Are you serious about improving the shape you're in? Are you serious about improving your energy? When you use, that's a trial close question. The more skilled you become at trial closing early and often, you can establish whether or not you have a qualified buyer. One of the worst things you can do is spend a lot of time with someone not only who doesn't buy, but spend a lot of time with someone who isn't qualified. Now, the fortune is in the follow-up. Well, there's more to that than that statement. You can spend the rest of your life following up with people who aren't qualified, and you'll waste your time. Or you can follow up with a few qualified buyers who qualify for the product, service, and benefits and features by the way they answered the questions. It is your responsibility to do this. Set the sail. Now, if you're sailing on the ocean or on a big lake, setting the sail means you're coming about. You're maneuvering the sail to catch the wind. And it's not the sail, it's the set of the sail that will determine the destination. Well, the same application applies when you're prospecting, because it's the way you set the sail that dictates the outcome. But if you're not skilled at this process and you try and wing it, then you miss the clues, the buy signals, the telegraphs, and the tells that a buyer will give you. And it's your responsibility to be able to set the equation up by the way you ask the questions. If I'm doing lead calls from leads that I've created from various advertising situations that I've created, I have a standard routine. But I also have a standard routine when I call a restaurant, my accountant, my parents, my friends and family. I use a very similar communication style where I can do this, where I can state the purpose. The reason I am calling is, I like to state my name and where I'm calling from. Or if it's even someone I know, it's, hi, my name, this is Jeff, how are you today? I like to ask the first question early in the conversation. It indoctrinates the person into a communication style where I can do fact-finding, rapport building, small talk, and I can establish if we can have a win-win communication. So have you ever called someone who was hostile? Well, and you try and win them over and try and validate, justify, explain, beg, or seduce. Well, it's usually a waste of time. Same situation when you encounter someone that's hostile. You have to be able to break the ice by being able to ask a couple of questions. How are you today? And if you can't neutralize their passive-aggressive behavior or their narcissism or their skepticism early in a conversation, then you're going to be wasting your time. Yeah, you called my number. What were you calling about? I was calling to see if you were looking for a way to create an additional income stream or improve the quality of your health. I'm not interested. Click. Now, that person did not hang up on you. They hung up. They don't know you. It's important you differentiate between a rejection and someone who prejudges a situation. You didn't even get to present to that person. You didn't even get to ask that person any questions. They didn't prejudge you. Whatever's going on in their world, they conveyed that to you. You must learn to let go of being sensitive, defensive, and taking a situation personal, because you did not get rejected. The person hung up, not specifically on you. They hung up. When you don't make it personal, then you're not the mind-body connection to all the events that shaped your rejection issues. You're not affected by past events that made you feel abandoned or neglected. And then you don't feel demeaned or diminished. And if you have anxiety about making mistakes, being judged, getting in trouble, offending someone, bothering someone, or if you spend a great deal of your time worried or overwhelmed, then you're creating a neurochemical situation to fulfill your feelings based on past events. As you let go of your anxiety about the event, as you let go of your control about the outcome, as you let go of being worried, if you have knots in your stomach, if you're afraid you're going to get tongue-tied, what does it look to tie your tongue? First of all, your tongue's not long enough to tie it. Now, you might be able to tie a cherry stem in your mouth on the cherry, and that's a skill, but I doubt if you can tie your tongue. It's not long enough. Tongue-tied means it's a reference to getting overwhelmed. It means you check out, you forget what you're doing, you start to make a fool of yourself, you have anxiety, you feel embarrassed, and you recreate a past event with a passive-aggressive parent, personality, in your circle of influence that keeps you feeling what you're feeling. As you begin to let go of your anxiety, you can learn a different set of reflexes. Prospecting is very simple. Someone asked me today, Jeff, how do I prospect in a store? Well, you prospect someone in a store who's available being prospected, first of all. Your objective is not to walk into a store like a complete fool and try and prospect everyone in the store. You prospect when you're out the people that are available. And you prospect when you're out in this situation in the natural order of life, in the natural order of being, in the natural order of spirituality. As a situation avails itself, an opportunist never misses an opportunity. Opportunities are never lost or seized by the few who are ready. Luck is when opportunity meets preparation. And when you're prepared and you're in the game and you're in the flow and an opportunity avails itself, then you want to be advantageous and take advantage of the situation by asking a series of questions. If I see a waitress who has skills and talent and has people skills, I might ask her, using her first name, Susan, your service tonight was exceptional. Have you ever considered owning your own business? That's a compliment with a question. It's a very effective means to trial close someone. When someone checks out and doesn't answer your question, that will let you know they either they got overwhelmed, didn't hear what you asked them, or have no interest, any one of those A, B, or C situations. As you learn to read the situation, you read it intuitively, to intuit, meaning be here, be now, be present. You should be able to read and tell if this person qualifies for your time. If they don't, you diplomatically move out of the conversation and move on. It's one lead in the banquet of life. Stop making the situation so personal. Don't make it bigger than it is, and continue to move right along to the next person that's looking for what you are marketing. When you let go of your anxiety about being rejected, then rejection no longer has any identity with you. And you start to understand that you're not being rejected. You're not being anything. The person is being themselves. You're presenting an opportunity of value, service with benefits, features, and an opportunity to live the good life. You're giving people the opportunity to live their dreams, but what you're going to find real quickly, if you interviewed most of society, they don't have any. They forgot how to dream. Somewhere between 10, 14, 18, 22, 26, and 30. So there's typically about a 20-year period. In those 20 years, most Americans and Canadians forget how to dream. And what they end up saying when you ask them their dreams is they're politically correct and they tell you what they think they should tell you due to their own anxieties about guilt and shame. And when someone leads with guilt, that typically is not the kind of person you're looking for, because they're transmuting their energy to very low vibration of energy, overwhelmed that they might offend someone, overwhelmed they might say the wrong thing, and they typically have forgotten how to dream. Now, exceptions to all rules, because you can still find great people anywhere, but as you become a professional, as you become better at reading people, as you understand the 16 different personalities broken down into the four main personalities, amiable relators, people who are people-driven, givers, servers, people who tend to do more for others. These people are very service-oriented. They're very inspired to be recognized for their services. These are the people who do more for themselves than they will do for others. They're the largest percent of society. The smallest percent of society are analytical thinkers. These are the most intelligent sector of society. These people tend to be very intelligent. They tend to be aloof, typically not very warm, not touchy-feely. They are more concerned with facts, figures, documentation, logic, and they do not buy emotionally, they buy logically. They typically take the longest time to decide when presented an opportunity, and they typically spend a great deal of their time figuring things out. They're the type of people who have to know all the documentation, the ingredients, and they make their buying habits are based on what they think, not how they feel. And the third type of personality is the life of the party. This person typically has high energy. They oftentimes have high lows and high highs and low lows. This type of personality tends to be unfocused. However, they typically are very good promoters. They're typically unorganized and rebellious, but typically are the type of people who can promote and sell, and they typically have a circle of influence. They are fun-loving in the life of the party. Then the last personality is typically the doer, the driver, the A-type personality. They're the most prone to addiction and the most prone to success. They're the most prone to sabotage, and they're the most prone to let go quickly. They're the type of people you want in an organization, provided they don't sabotage your organization, or they don't leave your organization or take people with them. These are the type of people that can become top-tier income earners. They tend to also go from the top to the bottom. They go from rock bottom to the top. So they have many good qualities. They also have many addictive qualities. So the more you understand people, their predictability, why they do what they do, I cover this in great detail on an 8 audio program of mine called Personalities for Success, The Animal Factor. I break the 4 personalities into animal personality temperaments to give you great insight on how to communicate with each individual personality temperament. And the more you understand how predictable people are, the more the law of averages become in your favor. So if you're going to prospect, you require leads. Lead generation is a whole seminar. It's a whole workshop. There are multitudes of ways to create leads. Here's some ways that I've created leads in my career. Billboards, 900 numbers in the 90s. I used to rent a 900 number where it would cost, and I would have business opportunities on it. I've created leads with roadside signs, Millionaire Seeks Apprentice, Millionaire Blueprint. I've also created leads with flyers. I've put flyers in plastic bags with rocks, a twist tie, threw them out the right-hand side of my window in upscale neighborhoods, and I threw them in the driveway. I have flyered multiple parking lots. The problem with flyers is that many cities have no handbill laws. And so if you're doing flyers and you get caught in the wrong place, you're going to be picking the flyers up. You can actually get fined and occasionally arrested. Same situation applies to roadside signs or signs that you can staple to telephone poles or poles. Fortunately, I live in a city where there's no handbill laws for roadside signs, but definitely handbill laws in certain parking lots. I've also paid a pilot to have a sign over a beach that he pulled behind a plane. I also went in with one of my teammates who was a very skilled welder. He welded together a trailer, built a little frame around it, and put signs on the side of it with small wheels that he could pull around at 75 miles an hour in a large metropolitan city, and we crushed some of those leads. And that lead said on the side of that, on that little trailer, we had, "Frightened of being successful, let me scare you to death." I also had great success with various degrees of $100 bill cards. I was an exceptional writer of sales copy in newspapers, magazines. I've advertised in all the horse magazines, American Horseman, Western Horseman, American Cowboy, Cowboys and Indians. I've advertised in Popular Mechanics, Rob Report, Black Enterprise, Jet Magazine. I've advertised in so many places. I've advertised in the Thrifty Nickel and the Penny Saver. Don't ever advertise there. You will attract the brokest of the broke. I've advertised in opportunity sections of newspapers. I've advertised in Christian radio. I've advertised on sports talk radio. I've bought time where I did my own infomercial before. I have advertised in multiple places. I've advertised on moving billboards. I had magnets on cars. I had signs in the back of windows. God, where else? I mean, I have advertised in dating services. I advertised in Dallas, Texas, in a free publication called The Globe. I've advertised at health fairs. I've advertised at psychic fairs. I've created leads in hundreds of places. So you have to be, when it comes to lead generation, you have to be creative and innovative. And you want to be paying attention to magazines, billboards, grocery store ads, the way products are packaged. Watch advertisements online, on television, in the NFL channel, in cable. Watch where ads are placed. Watch how their copy, watch how the sales copy is used. Watch how it's storyboarded. 3 10-second increments with one purpose: for you to remember the brand. And if you're right-handed, which is 80% of the population, for you to reach onto a shelf, put it in a shopping cart, put it in a shopping basket, put it under your arm, carry it to the checkout stand. That's the laws that govern branding. The more you understand why people buy, the more you understand how people's buying habits are affected by words, pictures, pixels, and other situations that move people to a commitment, to a decision, to a purchase. When you start to understand how that happens, there's a great book written by Paco Underhill, written in the early or the late 1990s, called Why People Buy, with the follow-up book called The Call of the Mall. The Call of the Mall. There's another book I own called The Wizard of Brands. I have well over 2,000 books on sales, marketing, personal development, spirituality, self-improvement, quantum physics, and addictions that give me great insight into cause and effect, why people buy. There are so many ways that you can create leads. Come up with 3 to 5 ways to create a lead. Start to master that lead. There's Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and all other host of situations. I'm very skilled at Facebook. I'm sure you are too. You want to be skilled at Facebook advertising. You should also be doing this. You should be building lists. If you're going to prospect, you prospect from the list you have. You should be integrating into files email addresses that you accrue and acquire. You want to have a list of at least 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000, 30,000 emails. Arthur Tubman, one of my clients, has in the hundreds of thousands of emails. He has over 200 Facebook fan pages where he creates multiple lists. He has some of his fan pages have over 1,000 likes. As you start to create list, lead generation becomes a way of life. Then you learn how to write sales copy to your leads. The more you understand, once again, what affects the people's buying habits, what affects their right eye iris, what affects their left eye iris, how they see a situation that goes across the screen. Anytime you're doing any kind of email campaigns, it's the header that creates the open rate, conversions per click. You ever see ads on the right-hand side of Facebook? Click on some of them. You ever end up on someone's website and then there's a pop-up that pops up right there? There's an opt-in for you. And then as you're starting to fill in the opt-in before you finished, another funded proposal shows up. And then you enter into a sales funnel. Well, that's a very, very effective technique, specifically when the sales copy is done well. I'm a Ryan Dice avatar, meaning Ryan Dice has targeted me as one of his ideal clients. So his cookies follow me many places that I go. The other night I was watching videos, and his sales copy kept popping up, which meaning that I've been targeted as one of the ideal buyers. The more you understand how to create leads, how to target leads, who is your ideal candidate? That's criteria you should have. You should be really, really clear on who your ideal candidate is. Many of you choose mompreneurs. I like to choose single women that are 28 to 45 that have no children first. Then secondly, I will also target women who do have children. Then there's men who have no children, single men who aren't married that have no children, that are 28 to 45, that are in excellent shape. In all of the graph search bars, you can become very specific in Google, become very specific in who you're attracting for a lead. I was online earlier today looking for a 1980 Calvin Klein, waist size 31, inseam 32, mint condition jean. And I was able to find that by how I Google searched what I was looking for. When you become clear and have clarity and use it in the search bar in Facebook, LinkedIn, and Google, you will begin to attract to your reality people and situations that will foster your careers. When you're vague, when you're uncertain, and when you continue to use words like, I don't know, I'm not sure, and guess in mid-sentence, then you telegraph your doubt. You cannot attract prosperous prosperity partners who want to live in the land of prosperity and reciprocity by telegraphing your emotional state in an overwhelmed state, unorganized, undisciplined, and in doubt. Doubt is the space between fear and faith. Now, when you start to target your leads and start to target who you're looking for, your ideal candidates, you're going to find that a large percent of society lives in doubt, D-O-U-B-T. That's typically about 80%. These are the type of people in their communication. They say, I don't know, frequently, ending sentence in I don't know. They start sentences with sounds followed by prepositions well, oftentimes use but to avoid making a commitment and or a decision. When you start to understand the inner game of selling and prospecting, connecting, and and understanding people. Their tells and clues, they give off their tells and clues immediately. When you let go of your anxiety about the outcome and you can hear what's meant, not said, then you become in the driver's seat with the toggle switch, moving the prospect from left to right, where you're in command of your emotional state, you're in command of your paycheck, and you teach prospects and prospective buyers a skill called loosen your wallet. As you begin to indoctrinate your qualified buyers to your reality, and you're in complete command of how the questions are asked, you're not intimidated by the outcome, you're able to ask a question effectively without losing your composure, you're able to U-turn the situation, get command back in the conversation, so you can fact-find, rapport build, and small talk, so you can establish, do I have a qualified buyer, someone I want to be a teammate with, someone that's a potential mastermind alliance partner with, someone that I can see myself spending the next 2 to 5 years building a 6- and 7-figure business with, then you'll become very clear and you'll become very routine in the routine you establish. But if you're overwhelmed and try and wing it, then you will never be a professional. Ask and chair means stationary place, where you can ask the same series of questions over and over, so you can become exceptionally skilled at the inner game of communication. This is bigger than prospecting. This is life. Because you're going to be prospecting soulmates, partners for various teams, employees, situations like this, people you want in your circle of influence, friends, mentorees, mentors. It all comes down to how you ask the question. What is your criteria? If you don't have established criteria about who you seek, then you will just attract any old one. And if you continue to live in your head, talk yourself out of hiring me, hiring people that can empower you, because of your own broke thoughts, dialogue with money that keeps you doing the same thing over and over, when you deny yourself brilliance, when you talk yourself out of opportunities to collaborate and connect with people who understand the inner game, then you will continue to collaborate with people who are as broke and broken as you. And if that's you, then it's time to let go of the anxiety that keeps you perpetuating and creating a set of feelings that keep you overwhelmed. You must learn to stop talking and start asking. Large percent of society validates, justifies, explains, and then they get seduced into justifying, validating, explained, because the prospect starts to ask you the questions, then all of a sudden the tail wags the dog. And when the tail that wags the dog, you have lost before you've ever started. Because once you start talking, the prospect in their right brain goes, wow, this is difficult. I have to be really intelligent. This is why explaining, talking, and spending a lot of time with the wrong people is a recipe for overwhelmed and disaster. As you start to master your emotional skills, as you start to master your emotions, and you start to have command of your emotions, and you let go of the control of your anxiety that keeps you disappointed, you are no longer the mind-body connection to the low self-esteem that has shaped your identity. As you start to raise your energy, you raise your power. Your energetic emotional vibration that transmutes from faith, intuition, and trust is a whole different dynamic, and you'll attract your reality, the parking space that you seek, people that you can foster change with, people that you can create an enterprise with. As you let go of your analytical, egoic mind, the mind that has to know all the freaking details, all the situations before you start, as you let go of perfection, as you start to navigate and you live in the moment, in the present, then you are no longer the anxiety that used to feed your addictions. As you start to let go of alcohol, nicotine, stuffed feelings, pharmaceutical medication, and compulsive spending, compulsive debting, sexual addictions, anorexia, bulimia, all the anxieties that lead your addictive emotional state, then you'll change what you attract. And then all of a sudden, people show up. And then you'll say to me, I closed two of whatever you're selling. I closed two of these last week. I closed two president's packs. I closed two seminar packages. I sold whatever you sold it. And then you don't have intimidation about, you're not asking for money. You're asking for a commitment. You don't ask for money, and the money typically doesn't move directly to your wallet. However it is in today's world, it's going to go through some e-commerce account. And if you have a shopping cart, it's going to go through your shopping account. And it's going to pass through a series of situations to eventually it ends up in your bank account. It's going to show up after you batch out at the end of an evening, or it's going to show up in the morning as a bank account from somewhere other destination releases your funds, your fundamentals. That's what funds are. Funds come from the word fundamental, your fundamental money, the money that you require to be and stay in free enterprise. You must also develop a dialogue with money that's conducive to asking the prospects to let go of it. But if you have anxiety about the outcome, you worry about offending someone, you worry about prying in someone's affairs, being nosy, having someone's nose get bent out of shape, or any multitude of situations that you live from your Grammy, your grandma, your mama, your manna, your nana, any of these people that you grew up with, these passive-aggressive people that become the matriarchal mothers of your households, and you continue to listen to some of that dialogue that no longer serves you, well, you'll continue to do the same thing over and over, then you'll attract passive-aggressive people. You'll also attract people who are very weak and codependent that you'll have to rally, fix up, spend too much time with. When doing too much for others is hurting you, that was a post I wrote earlier this evening, when doing too much for others begins to hurt you and keeps you in a low self-esteem, then you'll attract your reality, people of very low vibrational energy that will keep you disappointed. As you start to let go of the stories you tell yourself, as you start to empower yourself and realize that you must master a set of skills through repetition and experience, you're able to ask the questions about the anxiety about the outcome. You're able to sit in the middle of your emotional state with a command and ask the questions, what do you do for a career? How long have you been an attorney? Where did you go to law school? Is that a good profession? See, right there is the make or break part of the conversation. Is that a good profession? Not really. Have you ever considered owning your own business? How serious about owning a business are you? Are you image or health conscious? Do you have a pen? You sound like the kind of person I'm looking for. Can you write this website down? Now, me personally, I don't send people emails. I don't send them videos. I direct them to where they can receive their content because I factor that they're grown up. I don't have to be in control of the control to be out of control. I'm not going to follow up with them, stalk them, hound dog them. I'm not a blue tick healer. I'm not a bloodhound. I'm not a hound dog. I'm not going to hound someone. I'm not going to stalk them. I'm not a praying mantis. I'm not going to be all over them. I'm not going to drip on them. I'm not going to call them 6, 7, or 10 times. I don't believe the fortune's in the follow-up. I believe the fortune is in the qualification. When you can effectively qualify people and you learn to trust your feelings, your inner knowing, your sixth sense, your extrasensory perception, when you can tell in your emotional state that this is somewhat of influence or affluence that might merit more communication, more conversation without being attached to the outcome, then there's no attachment. When they know you're attached, they own you. When you're not attached, your objective is not to own them. Your objective is to own the moment. As you own the moment, you are in power. When you give your power away, now you've moved into a place called force. And when you let your prospects own you, now you're the counterforce to their force. Now you're going to be answering questions that you not should be answering. You're going to be talking when you shouldn't be talking. You're going to be disappointed at the end of the conversation knowing you blew it. You did. Because you weren't aware, you weren't available, and you weren't in the moment. The more that you stay present, the more that you're here, you're now, the more that you know, and when you know that you know, and you stop doubting what you don't know, and you're not worried about what hasn't happened, then you can be present by asking the questions over and over, similar questions, following the lead of the answer they give you, asking a question based on the answer, leading to the outcome you seek. Your objective when prospecting is to see if the prospect has a problem you can resolve. Your objective is in that conversation is to find out if they have money issues that you can resolve and if they have money issues that won't lead them to purchasing your product, benefit, and feature. You can do that very simply by asking, if I present to you an ideal opportunity, products and services and benefits and features that you will perceive to be of great value, would you have startup capital of anywhere from $300 to $1,000 to purchase the product or put yourself in free enterprise? You can eliminate a lot of the objections by the way you ask the questions up front. Are you married? Do you have children? Do you have children in college? Will your spouse, significant other, be your business partner? Will you require anyone else's approval to make a decision? I mean, this is really up to you how you ask your questions. I routinely will ask somewhere between 5 to 10 questions in a 3, 5, 8, 10-minute conversation. I typically won't let the prospect go on and on in a drunkalogue. I will interrupt them if they're going too long by using their first name, usually once or twice. John, John, I appreciate that. I also sometimes like to ask the prospect, do you remember the question I asked you? I ask my coaching clients this oftentimes. When I ask them a question, they check out, start telling me a story. They're going on 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. I'll use their first name. It's not rude. It's a skill. I'll use their first name and interject, John, do you remember the question I asked you? John, I can appreciate where you're coming from. How serious are you about starting a business? So you have to be able to redirect the people to get back on the track that you want them to run so you can establish if you're a qualified buyer. The more that you understand this, the less likely you are to feel overwhelmed, rejected, abandoned, neglected, the less likely you are to go into any kind of guilt and shame, blaming yourself for what really didn't happen, overwhelming yourself for what did happen. As you begin to let go of the control that keeps you out of control, you can become very effective at asking the questions in a sequence. Hi, Mom. How are you this evening? How's everything on the home front? Great. How are the holidays? These are routine questions. This is just small talk, fact-finding. Where are you and Dad traveling to this summer? Great. Outstanding. Any chance you'll be able to spend some quality time with me or me with you? I mean, these are trial closed questions. When would... Mom, I'll get back to you relatively soon. I mean, this is the outgo. It's all part of all communication. All communication has an opening, a middle, and an end. And the end is the outgo. And some of your outgoes, you're closing for the sale. Some of your outgoes, you're diplomatically letting people go. And other outgoes, and when you're talking to your friends, significant others, you're letting them go to move on. As the more you understand, there's three phases to communication. Just like there's three phases to any commercial, and the advertising agencies of the world unequivocally storyboard this in 3 10-second increments. It's usually 27 blocks. 9 blocks to 10 seconds in each in a 30-second commercial. Also, in all television and online products, where there's advertising, there's usually 8 minutes devoted to commercial advertising for every half hour, 16 minutes per hour. Now, in that time frame, you're bombarded with a lot of messages. The more attentive you become, the more attention that you start to understand and you become attentive, then you can hear what's meant, not what's said. You can start to establish through your own intuition who's someone you want to spend time with, who's someone who qualifies for your time. And the more you understand that leads are a way of life and leads must be accrued and collected through your innovation and your creativity. So when you're asking me how do I create leads, well, there's a lot of ways you create leads, but how do you want to create a lead? Who is the ideal lead you want to create? What kind of sales copy do you want to use to affect the imagination, to affect someone's emotional state? What's a common word that's going to affect many people? Millionaire is a common word. Freedom is a common word. Travel is a common word. Terms on your time frame are common words. Good life are common words. Travel the world. Sail the oceans. These are common words. And when money in motion is another situation, and so free of debt is another situation. I mean, these are certain words that you want to use that are keywords that affect people emotionally. Receive and deserve are keywords. Prosperity are keywords. So as you begin to write your sales copy, as you begin to write the byline, the header, as you write the words that are going to be noticed the most, you start to understand how it's done. And the more you understand predictability, how and why people buy, then you start to create a law of average that's conducive in your favor. One of my clients said to me today, I was listening to you prospect last night, you know so much about a lot. I do, and it's an advantage. The reason I know a lot about a lot is I'm attentive. I'm also a geography student. I'm a world student. I've studied wars. I know a lot about a lot. Now, if you tell yourself, I don't know a lot, then you're correct. That means you're not very attentive. You have to be worldly in the world today. Well, gee, how am I going to do that one day at a time? Well, I'm not good at that. Well, when you just took yourself out of the game, I'm not good at memory. I'm not good with names. Well, in that case, you're screwed because this is a business about people. When you tell yourself statements like this, blanket statements that keep you disappointed and you wonder, WTF, why no, you don't get anywhere, look in the mirror, Chief. It's because your communication is very ineffective. 9 out of 10 people that I coach have very ineffective communication style. Now, because of how skilled I am, how good I am, how much I've done it, a large percent of my clients that I coach that rehire me more than once start to grasp and get who I am and what I do. Now, I may seem unorthodox. Sometimes I may have come across as abrasive in your face to whatever story you tell yourself, but in reality, I'm attempting to show you how to use communication that's persuasive. So when you keep telling me what you need to do, and I go, do you need to or do you commit to? I'm attempting to show your right brain how to commit so you can let go of your left brain that keeps you uncommitted. And the more you understand words have law, words are power, and words are persuasive, then you begin to persuade yourself so you can persuade others. You can't persuade others unless you're persuasive. You can't persuade others unless you persuade yourself to let go of your emotional addictions that keep you neurochemically addicted to a set of feelings that keep you feeling disappointed. The more you understand that you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your addictions, your identities, your low self-esteem, your guilt, your shame, your anger, your hate, resentment, your overwhelmed feelings. When you're no longer those feelings, then you're no longer the mind-body connection that shape that identity that keeps you disappointed, under-earning, underachieving, over-obligating. As you let go of your codependent tendencies and become independent, as you let go of your low self-esteem and start to develop healthy esteem, as you let go of the people who violated you and you forgive yourself and you forgive others, then you become a woman of influence and affluence. You become a man of significance. You become a woman who can create and foster change. But if you have challenges changing because you're stuck in being stuck, then you'll have challenges attracting to reality people and situations that will fulfill your dreams. And if you don't have dreams, now is the time to create them. And you have to have dreams that are personal. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. At the beginning of this call, I offered a free 15-minute coaching session to anyone on this call who's serious, not curious, about taking their game to the next level. Someone who wants to effectively write, brand themselves, be able to be more effective in their speaking style, communication style, their ability to create leads, traffic, create a culture, a clan, a tribe, and if that is you, call me at 209-932-0227, 209-932-0227. Operators are not standing by. I'm not standing by. I'm sitting at my desk. I will answer your call if you're serious about finding out more about my coaching or ready to hire me. Have a great evening, everyone. I will be in Cleveland, Ohio this Saturday, Chicago, Illinois, April 9th, April 16th, Bozeman, Montana. April 23rd, St. Louis, Missouri, one of my all-time favorite cities. And April 30th, I'll be in Norwalk, Connecticut. I'll be speaking 5 times in the month of April. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a great evening, good night, and goodbye. This call is a call and officially recorded.